On today's show, we have Dinah Brown. She is a distinguished teacher in residence at San Diego State University. And in this position, Dinah teaches classes for practicing teachers earning a math specialist certificate. And prior to this, she was a district program specialist responsible for facilitating CGI workshops and providing classroom support for teachers in her district. And her position was created in response to the enormous interest in children's thinking generated by her initial CGI work. And Dinah's work with CGI builds on 23 years of teaching experience and 18 years as a mathematics leader for her district and throughout San Diego County. Dinah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I know that there will be listeners of the show that don't know what CGI means, so let's just start there. What is CGI and where did it come from?
Okay. CGI stands for Cognitively Guided Instruction. And I think it comes from just what you were talking about. You know, why I was able to get in the position I was in is that we started paying attention to kids' thinking. And back in the 1980s, Tom Carpenter, Tom Romberg, and Jim Mosier were studying how early number concepts develop in young children. And they were this came out of the University of Wisconsin. And their research really showed that kids come into school with this rich informal knowledge about mathematics. And traditionally, we, you know, have textbooks that just tell us what to teach day to day to day. And what they found was that our traditional texts weren't really teaching to this informal knowledge, or it wasn't really connecting to their informal knowledge that they brought into school. And so through that, they developed a list of problem types and actually a framework that shows the levels of development children follow as they're making sense of mathematics. And after that research came out, then Liz Finema, who was also a professor at the University of Wisconsin, she was in the teacher ed part, and I think she kind of bugged Tom for a while and said, you know, you can't keep this information to yourself. You need to get it to teachers. We need to change the way we teach mathematics, and we can't make those changes, or we can't make effective changes if teachers don't understand how kids learn. And so that was really the beginning of it. And I think as the story goes, or as I understand how it started, Tom Carpenter and others took, I think, about 10 or 12 teachers and taught them everything he learned through his research about how kids think and how kids learn, and taught it to these teachers and said, I don't know how to tell you what to do in your classrooms, but this is what I know about kids. And I think the greatest thing that those 10 teachers or 12 teachers did was they listened to children and they paid attention to children and they used Tom's research to really inform their instruction. And so they were no longer just, you know, following this curriculum guide or this day-to-day thing. They were making their teacher decisions based on what their kids were doing. And so I think that was probably a long answer to that, what is CGI? But CGI, I think to me, more than anything, is just really paying attention to kids' thinking and trying to connect to their thinking so that mathematics instruction isn't this foreign thing that we're doing off to the other side.
Now, you mentioned it's based on the rich conceptions that children bring already coming to school. They already have a rich understanding of mathematics. Now, I know from my own experience teaching second grade that I often have had thoughts when working with children like why aren't they getting this? Like how come they don't realize that they can just take away the three from the five or whatever it is? Is there In your opinion, and to the research, is there a difference between a child's conceptions of mathematics from that of adults?
Oh, absolutely. The research really shows that kids think about solving problems in very different ways than adults do. And I think what makes that hard for us as adults is we were just taught how to solve math problems. We were never allowed to make sense of them. We were just taught this is how you do it. And so when you really step back and allow kids to solve problems in ways that make sense to them, it's very different than the way we do it as adults because we were just taught one way to do it. And I think my greatest, and you know, the one of the analogies that I've heard from someone, I don't know who was, if you took a bunch of change out of your pocket and you threw it on the table and you said, count this. And, you know, if you asked any adult or any, and even at this point, if you asked a child, if you think about where would they start counting from, even an adult wouldn't start counting at the pennies. Mm-hmm. They would count the bigger bills and then they would move down. And if you think about our standard algorithms, they, you know, you have to start with the ones and you can't go to the tens till you've done the ones. And yet it really doesn't make sense. And it only makes sense to us because that's how we were taught to do it. So we think that's the way it should be. But if you were allowed to do it naturally, in a way that made sense to you, you would start with the bigger amounts and you would work, you know, towards, you know, the smaller amounts because it's easier to chunk big amounts. So there's definitely a difference between the way children solve problems and the way adults solve them. And oftentimes the reason the adults solve them the way they do is because that's all they know. It's what they've been taught. And they haven't really thought about in a way that makes sense to them.
Now, as I understand, when kids are allowed to try and explore things on their own, they come up with many different strategies. And Tom Carpenter and his associates covered a lot, all of that in their book. But so kids have all these different strategies, and I personally am in the opinion that elementary teachers have seen students using manipulatives forever, such as like counters and Unifix cubes and base 10 blocks. And I feel that some teachers and especially parents may feel that a lot of what the children do with these sort of concepts and materials seem almost like playing with things and not really learning what they need to know in mathematics, like you were saying, like carry the one or borrow. So could you describe the role manipulatives play in a child's understanding of math?
Absolutely. I think that one of the things I caution teachers in my staff development training is not to call, you know, not to say that their kids are playing with the manipulatives, that we need to take the word play out of there and really get kids to understand that they're math tools. And I think if you think of most careers require us to have a tool to do our job or to do, you know, our skill or our craft. And I think with children, as we're wanting them to make sense of these amounts, without the use of any tools, it's so extremely abstract. And I think it's why kids aren't making as much sense as they could be because they don't have these amounts in front of them. Also, we found through other pieces of research that kids, you know, sometimes the fear is, oh, they're going to use that, you know, they can't take the cubes to college or they can't use them on the test. And yet research shows that when kids are allowed to use tools at the beginning, as they're making sense, they'll get more sophisticated strategies and eventually they no longer need the tools. So the tools are really the beginning phase. And Tom Carpenter, you know, they and his associates call that direct modeling. It's what we often do whenever we encounter something new. Even an adult, when they encounter something new, often will need to draw a picture or make a table or a chart or something to make sense of the information that they're taking in. And that's exactly what kids do. And as they use the tools to make sense, they eventually move away from the tools and no longer need them. But when they encounter something new, they might go back to a tool and need to use it again. And so I think that it plays a huge role, and the teachers, the way the teacher uses it in the classroom is important also. I think tools often can be just, kids can be taught to use a tool, and just like they're taught to do an algorithm, and if that doesn't make sense to them, again, there's going to be confusion. So the children really have to make sense of the tool in relationship to the problems that they're solving also.
Well, you were saying that kids need to start with manipulatives, but at some point they can move away from them and do these more complex strategies. And you've addressed a lot of this, but almost all of us grew up, I know I did, not having to explain ever how I came to an answer during math class. And so it seems that there was a heavy focus on learning how to perform the algorithm or carrying the one or borrowing. And Can you explain how, once a kid moves from direct modeling, can you explain how allowing students to invent their own strategy, can foster and promote deeper conceptual understanding as opposed to just teaching them the algorithm and just hoping they get it or thinking they get it?
Right. Or they get it for that week and then the next week it's
Right,
gone.
yeah.
I think that allowing students to invent their own strategy, and I know sometimes there's this misconception that part of cognitively guided instruction is we just want them to get as many different strategies as they can. And oftentimes kids will find a strategy that really works effectively for them and they'll stick to that strategy because it's the one that makes sense to them. Eventually, we hope that they move to a strategy and use a strategy based on the numbers. So they look at a set of numbers within the problem and think, oh, I'll use this strategy because that would be the most efficient. That's what I think mathematicians do. They determine which strategy would be the most efficient. But I think that when kids are allowed to invent their own strategy, they're allowed to make sense of it, and it's going to hold. It's, I almost liken it to that, when you learn any new skill, if you have to teach someone else that skill or you talk through that skill, I think it strengthens you.
It learn
And so I
it
think, go
you
ahead.
you learn it more.
Right.
You have a deeper understanding of it if you have to explain it to somebody else. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think you said, and as you were, before you asked the question, you said, typically the focus has been on the answer, and you watch kids in a traditional math class, and the only thing that's important is the answer. And I think what happens in a CGI classroom is the focus is on getting a right answer, but the children decide when they found that right answer, and they have discussion, and they have to justify their thinking, and they really have to be solid and comfortable that this is the right answer, and why did this process work to get that answer? The other thing that I find fascinating, and it's really hit me this summer more than ever, I'm not sure why, but in working with teachers and watching kids, that when a child just learns a traditional algorithm, all they are learning is a procedure. But when a student invents their own strategy, they're also building the or increasing their knowledge about the fundamental principles of arithmetic. And so a child might use the associative property or the distributive property while they're solving the problem and not know that they're using those properties when they first do it. But I think that's the piece I find fascinating is when they invent strategies, they're using the fundamental principles of arithmetic and they don't even know they're doing it. And I think the sad part is most time their teachers don't even know that they're using those properties and they're using them naturally. And so later on, when those properties become more predominant in their curriculum, I think they'll have a better understanding because they're already using them quite effectively in their invented strategies. So I think that too is strengthening their understanding.
A lot of what you're talking, almost all that you're talking about, is covered in depth in Thomas Carpenter and five other contributing authors in the book Children's Mathematics. Cognitively Guided Instruction is the name of the book, and I know when I read it for the first time, it was like, this makes sense. That I need to focus on this because this makes a lot of sense. And if you read the book like I did, and now it's time to actually do it with your kids, what would be some advice you'd give a teacher that is either a new teacher or a 20-year veteran that has discovered this and tried it or is going to try it? What would you give advice you would give to a teacher who may be new to this but really wants to start trying it in their class?
Absolutely. And I know often there's not training available, and I really believe in the training because I think the training really helps teachers make sense of it. And I know oftentimes teachers will read the book in their first year of training, and then they'll go back and read it a year later and see a whole new set of things because they have a different lens in which they're reading it. I think probably the most important advice I give to teachers when they want to start teaching this way, I like you, when I first went to my CGI training, it was like, okay, this is it. this is the piece that I've been missing. I knew I wanted to teach for understanding, but I don't think I had all the framework, so I didn't really understand how kids learn. And so learning that information, you can learn that from the book, but I think one of the most important things that I learned from reading the book is listen to kids, listen to your students, and ask them questions. You know, how do you know that works? Or why did you count it that way? Or why did you solve it that way? And I think through questioning, teachers can really find out what their kids are thinking and know what to ask them to do next. And I think that's a big departure from, okay, today we're teaching, today I'm going to model this, my kids are going to practice that, and then maybe there'll be some word problems at the end. And I think that's one subtle way you can change is start with the word problems, start with the contextual problems, and try to write problems that build off of your kids. Use your kids' names. Write problems using context that they're familiar with, and I think it will help them make sense of the mathematics, because the mathematics will be a part of what they do. There's not a kid in this world that it's, you know, before they entered school, didn't have to share something with an family member or friends, and sharing is division. And you know, I have a cookie and my mom gives me another cookie, it's addition. Or I had 6 cookies and I ate 2 cookies, that's subtraction. So that informal knowledge that they bring to school is right there ready for us to connect to. And so by listening to them, I think that's the best way we can jump in and kind of get started with these ideas.
Well, not even it aids us in our instruction by listening to them, but as you stated earlier, having them explain it just aids their deeper understanding as
Absolutely.
Well. And that, and I have been in class and I have tried this. I read the book and I'm the type that just jumps right into it. I figure, why wait? Let's get to work and try this. And one thing I've realized is that, especially this year, it seems that a lot of the kids really have not been asked to explain how they were thinking. They just are. Some of my kids just put just the answer down, and when I have them explain it, they don't even know what to say. So we've been practicing that, and it's inherent. It's like you just have to get it out of them and get them comfortable with it. But one topic that I've been trying to figure out, and me trying it in my grade and seeing what it does for kids, the problem for me is when I ship them off to third grade or I get the first graders that haven't been exposed to this, it almost makes me feel, I'm still think that they have been exposed to something wonderful, but I just wish that it would just keep going,
right,
you know,
right.
and they would keep building this this understanding, as opposed to just having 1 year of this and then you know, going back to the traditional way of teaching. So what is one way we could fix that problem?
Put us in charge of
right,
the world.
Just me and you. Well,
we could
mostly
do it.
You. Well, yeah, it would be mostly you. I'd be like, you're Robin to your Batman, and I don't even.
I you know, I think that as Americans, as people, we're all afraid of change. And we always want to stay with what we know, even if what we know didn't work. And I look at traditional mathematics, and for most students, I know for myself included, it didn't work. Yes, I made it through all the math classes, but I never felt confident. I had very little number sense. I really, really struggled with mathematics. I think I took algebra 3 times, you know, in my high school and college career. And I don't think it has to be like that. I think that if we, you know, could change that and could look at things differently, kids would be doing better. But I think it's hard for us as a nation to think that the way we've been doing it isn't right. So it's going to take a lot of changes. I know, you know, there's a lot of panels and a lot of discussion about what needs to happen. And I think people are really recognizing that kids having conceptual understanding of mathematics could improve the United States' standing in mathematics education. And as we know, we're at the bottom, so we have nowhere to go but up. So it's going to take people like you and like me and just really keeping, you know, just keep trying it and keep showing other people that this really can make a difference for kids. And it is growing. I mean, Linda Levy, one of the original associates with Tom Carpenter, she's, you know, got CGI training going, working with Teachers Development Group that's in Oregon. They're doing, Arkansas, I think, signed an initiative where every teacher will be trained. And so there are states, I think Iowa, there's lots of training going on in Arizona, California, North Carolina. So I'm just hoping slowly but surely we'll change people's viewpoints and get people more comfortable with doing teaching mathematics in differently than the way most of us received it, so that people aren't so uncomfortable with it.
Well, this is a very deep and very interesting topic, in my opinion. Every time I hear something about it or read something about it, just getting kids to understand mathematics through this sort of a teacher approach, we could keep going on and on.
Absolutely.
And it's just so deep. And the only way that you can really get on board, I think, is get the book and read it, and also try to get yourself involved in any training that comes through your area. But we have to switch topics here.
Okay.
And, because I know that you don't know, but there's a segment on the show here on the Teachers Live called The Story of the Day, and this is a part of the show where a story is told about what it's like being a teacher, or it could also be about a teacher that made an impact on you, and we would love if you could share your story of the day.
Well, I often think of my junior college days. I didn't grow up wanting to be a teacher. And actually wanted to be a veterinarian, pretty funny. But I went and volunteered in a classroom one day and decided that I wanted to, it took me one day in a classroom, and I knew that being a teacher was what I wanted to do. And I went and enrolled in the closest junior college and actually came into some classes late because I didn't realize I wanted to do this until school had already started. And I got in a biology 101 class, or biology 100 or whatever it is, and it had a lab. And I, at that time, had just recently read some information about autism. And it was before autism. This was a long time ago because, as you know, Bobby, I'm pretty old. And it was quite a while ago, and autism we didn't know very much about autism. Not that we know much more now, but we didn't know anything back then. And this was in the, like, early 80s, late 70s. And I kept reading all this information about autism and reading books on it, and I was so interested, and I kept going and asking my biology teacher questions about this thing called autism. And it got time for the final, and he assigned a final to everyone in the class. And he asked me to stay after class, and it was a lab final that everyone had to do the same thing. And he said, you know, he said, you have asked me so many good questions about autism. I wanted to assign you something different for your final. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, I want you to find a school that teaches autistic children, and I want you to go spend a couple of weeks there, or a couple of days, and I want you to just write up what you learned about autism, because that's going to serve you better than any assignment I could give you. And, you know, here it is a million years later, and I just still remember that he took the time to give me an assignment different from everyone else in the room, because he knew it would make a difference in my life. And it did. It made a huge difference. And I think that that's what CGI does, bringing it back to CGI, that CGI really allows me as a teacher to meet the needs of every student in my class and make sure that each student is getting the learning that is going to best suit them. And I always am thankful that teacher took the time with me to do something different and out of the ordinary, because he knew it would make a difference in my life.
We have one last question for you before we let you go. If you had to respond with just one word or phrase that would sum up for the listeners what the word teacher means to you, what would it be?
Today, it would mean guide.
Well, Dinah, thank you so much for being on the show, and best of luck over there in California with everything that you do. We really appreciate it, and I look forward to the next time you come through town for a training.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate being asked.
Dinah spoke to us from Carlsbad, California. For those of you that don't know, that's in between San Diego and Los Angeles. And if you are a wannabe surfer like me, it's a great place to check out. If you would like more information about CGI, the book is highly recommended. The title is Children's Mathematics Cognitively Guided Instruction, and it's published through Heinemann. If you're interested in teacher development, visit Teachers Development Group online. A very interesting blog about CGI is Linda Levy's blog. Linda Levy was one of the main contributors to the book, and you can reach her blog by visiting lindalevy.blogspot.com, or you can visit The Teacher's Life at theteacherslifeblog.blogspot.com, or visit the podcast at theteacherslife.podomatic.com. I'll have some links up there for you guys to visit. That's it for now. You guys take it easy, and thanks for listening. Bye.